Hi, welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski with the 12-Minute Shiur number 25, What is Prayer, and Why is That Such a Hard Question? We'll be working from a source sheet that you can download at our website, www.frihofinstitute.org/learning, and then scroll down to the 12-Minute Shiur. Okay, so we all know what prayer is, but what is its status, its origin, its function according to the tradition of halakha? Well, therein lies a machloket, which turns out is a hard question, which also makes it a good question. It's a famous machloket, and let's start with the Rambam, or Maimonides, in the very first halakha in the section of his Mishneh Torah entitled Hilchot Tefillah, lines 3 through 11 on the source sheet. Mitzvat aseh lehitpalel b'chol yom, shene'emar va'avadetem et Hashem Eloheichem. It is a positive mitzvah of the Torah to pray every day. As it is said, you shall serve Adonai your God, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Now, mipi hashmua lamdu, we learn in the oral Torah just what that verse means. She'avodah zo hi tefillah. Shene'emar ulo'ovdo b'chol levavachem. Amru chachamim, ezo hi avodah shebalev, zo tefillah. This service is prayer because, as it is said in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, you shall serve God with all your heart. And the sages ask, well, what is this service of the heart? And they answer, it is prayer. Notice that Rambam reads the halachic midrash, the passage in Sifrei to Deuteronomy, in a literal way. To serve God with our hearts, as opposed to other forms of avodah or service, the sacrifices perhaps, or maybe Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, serving God with our hearts means to pray. But as the rest of the text makes clear, this Torah-itic mitzvah, or as we say, this mitzvah midoraita, does not specify the frequency of prayer, the text of prayer, or the times of day or week that the prayer should be offered. All of those details, as we'll see, are midirabanan, established by way of takana by rabbinic authorities. So what does this mitzvah to pray actually entail? Well, as we learn in the second halakha, lines 14 through 22, if it doesn't have a fixed time of day or week, then it's not mitzvat aseh shehazman grama, a positive time-bound commandment, which means that according to traditional and orthodox halakha, women are not exempt from the obligation. They, just like men, are required to pray once a day. And while this prayer has a basic structure, first you praise God, then you ask God for what you need, and then give thanks, and the Rambam has sources for that, there is no fixed liturgy or prayer text. So what does one pray? Well, let's turn to Halakha Gimel, lines 25 through 34. Im haya ragil malbe betchina uvakasha. If one is skillful at language, one recites a long prayer. And if one is aral svatayim, as Moshe Rabbeinu said at the burning bush, if one is not skillful at language, one prays as best one can whenever one wishes. Likewise, the number of prayers is set according to one's ability. Some pray but once a day, others pray many times. All prayers to be recited while facing the temple, wherever one happens to be, v'ken haya hadaval tamid mimoshe Rabbeinu ve'ad Ezra. This is how matters stood from the days of Moses to the time of Ezra. All right, so what happened during the days of Ezra HaSofer? Rambam provides an expansive narrative in Halachat Dalet, lines 37 through 63. It was the time of Shivat Zion, the return of the exiles from Babylonia. But as we read in the biblical books of Ezra and Nehemiah, it was also a time of cultural degradation. As the Rambam describes it, this degradation expressed itself most especially in the degenerate language of the people. Those who grew up in exile, he says, nidbalbalu sfatam vahaita sfat kol ehad ve'ehad me'orevet milshonot harbe. They spoke a patois of many different languages, so that when they spoke, they could not express themselves adequately and without error in any one language. Thus, none of them could pray adequately in Hebrew without adding elements of other languages. And for this reason, the prayers they offered were considered linguistically inferior, unacceptable as offerings to Melech Malchei Melachim, the Supreme King of Kings. Ezra and his Beit Din therefore created the Tefillah, the Shmoneh Esrei, that is, the prayer recited by Jews to this day, and that appears in traditional Sidurim. This way, everybody would have access to a prayer text composed in clear and accessible Hebrew, and everybody would be equal as they stood before God, fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer. Okay, now, this is not to vouch for the historical accuracy of Rambam's narrative. Academic scholars most definitely do not believe that the tefillah emerged full-blown and fully formed from Ezra's Beit Din, or from the Knesset HaGedolah, the Great Assembly of Second Temple times. We're doubtful that those institutions actually existed. The point, rather, is to emphasize Rambam's halachic theory that the act of prayer originated in Jewish life as an obligation ordained by the Torah, and that subsequently this free-form, individually created prayer was transformed, made uniform, and given shape by the sages, the ancient rabbis, for reasons of public policy. But this version of the origin of prayer is vigorously challenged by Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, or Nachmanides, the Ramban, who lived in 13th century northern Spain. Ramban expresses his thoughts in one of his Hasagot, or critical notes, to Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot, where Maimonides numbers the obligation to pray as one of the 613 commandments of the Torah. Ramban opens in lines 67 and 74 with the polite words, "Ein haskama bezeh." This point is controversial. I say polite because Nachmanides goes on to pull no punches in showing that Rambam is wrong. He brings proof after Talmudic proof that the mitzvah of tefillah is not ordained by the Torah, but is rather midrabanan, a creation of the ancient rabbis. As an example, take a look at the text beginning in lines 69 and 76. Safek kara kriyat shema, safek lo kara kriyat shema. If you're in doubt as to whether you have recited the shema, say, if you're not sure you recited it at the proper set time, then chozer v'koreh kriyat shema, you recite it again. Because kriyat shema is d'oraita, a mitzvah of the Torah. And the rule for that is sfeika d'oraita l'humra. If there's doubt as to whether one has properly fulfilled a Torah-itic mitzvah, one takes the stringent option, in this case, do it again to make sure you've done it right. But safek hitpalel, safek lo hitpalel, eino chozer umitpalel. If you're in doubt as to whether you recited the tefillah at the proper time, you don't have to repeat it, because the rule there is sfeika derabanan lukula. In cases of doubt over rabbinic obligations, like tefillah, we take the lenient option. In Ramban's view, God never commands us to pray. Rather, lines 85 through 89, kol inyan hatfilah eno chova klal, aval hu mimidot chesed habore yitbarach aleinu. Prayer is an aspect of the Creator's love for us and responsiveness to us. Prayer, at bottom, is not a commandment. It's not an obligation. It's God's gift to us, the assurance that God will be near to us whenever we turn our hearts toward heaven. Well, but what about that midrash that Rambam relies upon? You know, ezohi avodah shebalev zot tefillah. What is this service of the heart? It is prayer. Well, Ramban says in lines 91 and 92, shetehiye kol avodatenu la'el yitbarach b'chol levaveinu. What the midrash means is the requirement that we serve God with our hearts has to do with kavanah, the intention we bring to all aspects of our service of God, For instance, when we pray, we should do it with a full heart, but it's not an instruction by the Torah that we must pray. So, now that we've surveyed this famous machloket, the two sides of this hard question, it's time to ask whether it makes any real difference. And you can make a good case that it does not. After all, both Rambam and Ramban would agree, sof sof, that the formal tefillah that Jews traditionally recite nowadays, three or more times per day, is a rabbinic mitzvah, and you should do it. But there are differences. The biggest one may lie in the different images of God, as it were, that emerge from the debate. For Ramban, prayer testifies to God's chesed, God's love and concern for us, whereas for Rambam, prayer springs not from love, but from God's demand for our service. And while we may resonate more with Ramban's loving and caring God, rather than the demanding, commanding God of the Rambam, let's not toss the Rambam's vision out the window. To say that prayer is a mitzvah midoraita, a commandment of the Torah, means that prayer is as much a mitzvah as any of the other 612. It is to say that prayer did not come about as a second-best solution, a jerry-rigged substitute for the sacrifices that we can no longer offer now that the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed, but rather that this avodah shebalev, this service of the heart, is and always was equivalent to all other forms of avodah, including avodat ha-korbanot, the sacrificial service. It is to say that prayer is not only an emotional, psychological, and spiritual necessity for human beings, though that's no little thing, but also that prayer is and always was, ever since Matan Torah, the event of Sinai, long before the days of Ezra, prayer is and always was a fundamental element of the covenant between God and Israel, which is also no little thing. And finally, it is to say that even those progressive Jewish communities that swap out the traditional liturgy for prayer services described as creative in nature, in Rambam's view, those communities are still fulfilling a mitzvah midoraita, even if, were we able to ask him, he would prefer that they stick to the traditional rabbinic script. So, there are differences between Ramban and Ramban on the question, what is prayer? And those differences do make a difference. This has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 25 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halacha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.